Hello and welcome to Grown in California, the Blue Diamond podcast, where we discuss everything new, exciting, and trending in the world of almonds and nutrition. Today, we're going to be talking about the clean label movement. We have three exciting guests who each offer a different perspective on this important trend and what it means for Blue Diamond and food companies around the world. I'm Elise Steins, the go-to-market strategy manager in the Global Ingredients Division at Blue Diamond Growers.
And I am CJ McClellan. I am the strategic marketing manager for Blue Diamond and the Global Ingredient business as well. And today we have three really exciting guests. First, we'll chat with Sarb Donjal, Director of Consumer Insights at Blue Diamond, about what's driving clean label, what the term clean label even means. We know that it's kind of ambiguous and that consumers have a lot of different opinions around what that looks like and what it means moving forward. We'll talk about the future of the clean label movement, including how the different generations play into it and what it means for sustainability, transparency, and food production. Then we have Carol Bingley, a technical specialist in food product development for RSSL, the Reading Scientific Services, who will talk about how the clean label movement has evolved and some of the specific ways companies around the world are approaching clean label innovation. And then finally, we will wrap up with Sean Allen, the vice president for sales of the Americas teams here at Blue Diamond. He'll shed some light on the role almonds and almond ingredients play in the clean label movement. So we've got a packed schedule and lots of awesome guests to get to. So I think we should probably just dive right in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's welcome Sarb and Carol.
Hello.
Hi.
So happy you're able to join us today. So as CJ mentioned, we have a jam-packed schedule, so we'll just jump right in. Sarb, we will start with you in the first question. Can you tell our listeners how your role as Director of Consumer Insights at Blue Diamond has evolved since you joined the company? And what does that tell you about the almond and plant-based world?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. So I joined Blue Diamond just about 4.5 years ago, and I would say it's evolved quite a bit. My role as Director of Insights, Analytics, and Advocacy here is to really understand consumers and shoppers and the shifts that are occurring in the marketplace, whether that's from a behavioral point of view, a sales point of view, looking at trends and market forces. So my team looks at these shifts to help guide the business on what the consumer needs and wants are, as well as the market forces that are occurring, so we can address those needs and gaps and opportunities.
Absolutely. And so when we transition a bit to clean labels, how do you think consumers today define this term clean label? And what role do you see this playing in products and launches from your perspective?
And how it's evolved is that, for perspective, we used to operate just back in 2017 in three main businesses. And within a year, we were in 7 to 8. And that just gives you a perspective of the accelerated growth our enterprise has experienced and continues to experience. But it was really driven by the plant-based movement and the demand for healthier, better for you food and beverages.
Yes, absolutely. We're definitely seeing consumers being interested in things that they can recognize, items that they can recognize on a label, and ingredients that don't sound artificial or misleading, to your point.
Yeah.
No, when we look at that, is there a difference between the way the different generations are seeing that, or is it a pretty common understanding of those terms that you just described?
That's a great question, CJ. We are seeing a difference through our market research surveys and certainly all the trends that we have purview to. We're definitely seeing in the market that the younger cohort lean in very much so to clean label claims, as well as clean label messaging. And of course, sustainability is tied to that. And you don't have to look too far to even hear in the media who's driving much of that media news is the younger generation when it comes to taking care of the planet, climate change, and where our food comes from. So yes, the younger generation, and I would say the Gen Zs and the millennials, are the ones that are spearheading the growth in this sector.
Fantastic. So what should companies know about the state of clean label today?
Clean label in the industry that we operate in, such as food and beverage, is a growing sector. We're seeing through our IRI data, through our Mintel partners, that claims that offer clean label, and what we mean by that, are claims such as certifications or transparency. They're winning with consumers and they're demonstrating incremental dollar growth. For example, GMO-free, vegan, dairy-free, antibiotic-free, sugar-free, calorie-free, gluten-free, energy, no preservatives. All of these claims are generating between 6% and 24% growth versus a year ago.
Wow.
That's quite extraordinary if you think about that statistic and where that growth is coming from. To CJ, your earlier point, you know, is it all generations or a specific generation? It's the Gen Z and those millennials that are really driving that growth. So for us to really capitalize on that, we should be offering and we should be looking at, which we are, of course, as well as the sector, how do we capitalize on that demand? How do we bring news via our almond products for almond innovation that would also speak to these claims of certification and transparency in the area of clean label and sustainability?
So on that point, what role do almond and almond ingredients play kind of into that clean label space in this industry? And have you seen that started to shift?
Yeah, you know, it's early days, but our almond, or should I say the category of almonds, fares very well to some of these other more well-known products in clean label. We recently conducted a survey with consumers here in the US and asked their perceptions of foods that are associated with clean label. And, you know, of course, grains and rice and natural cane sugars do surface, but our almonds as a category surfaced quite high. In fact, over 65% of consumers associated almonds with clean label, which is great news because it is seen to be a very clean profile product and a natural product. This pertains more so to natural almonds, of course.
I definitely felt that way before starting at Blue Diamond as well. Like my view of almonds and really nuts in general was very clean, healthy. They were things that, like, when I was getting ready to run my half marathon or, you know, training to be a healthy athlete of some sort, I would always revert back to, you know, purchasing
right.
the almonds to keep
yeah.
in my stash for my snacks at my energy store.
Yeah, and something that was interesting, when I joined the company, I remember someone mentioning to me that we were plant-based before plant-based was cool. And I think that has very much resonated with me, especially as I look at some of our offerings, as I look at where we're heading toward in the future as a company, both within the global ingredients division and on the NAC side, on the consumer side. And with that, I guess I'll transition to another question. You touched on this earlier in regards to innovation, but how do you think companies can leverage just evolution in clean labels as they continue to move forward?
Yeah, that's a great question, Elise. Look, I think we have to also remember, just from an awareness level, there's still room and opportunity to educate consumers and shoppers of what clean label means. The awareness is still not that high, but is it important to people? Absolutely. So when we, through our market research, have learned, even though the awareness of what clean label means, or have you heard of clean label, is moderate, people want it. So that it's going back to akin of sort of natural and organic again, where consumers have heard of a term, but the majority have not. So the opportunity really is for us to create awareness and then bring the relevant messaging, not through just a new product, but it can come through and manifest itself through our leadership of what we know about almonds and our sustainability and our entire supply chain process of how we are taking care of the orchards all the way from, you know, the provenance of the almond to the finished product. And those practices that we have that actually convey the cleanliness, if you will, of not just the product profile, but of our processes as well. So that's an important consideration to be thinking through as well as we talk to Clean Label as an organization.
Absolutely.
We are going to move into a quick little segment in the middle to break things up, to have a little fun, and to learn a little bit more about you all and get a look inside your minds. So we're going to do some quick rapid fire questions. We'll just jump right in. First question, favorite type of almond or almond-based products, Sarb?
Nothings. Cheese nothings, without a doubt.
Those are delicious.
Mm.
What about you, Carol?
I love the smoked almond smokehouse.
Yes.
Really good.
What's one almond ingredient that's always in your pantry, Carol?
Ground almonds. I use them for cooking quite a lot. So at the weekend, I made a lemon and raspberry cake with ground almond. It was really good.
That sounds delicious.
I have natural almonds in my pantry all the time. I mean, I grew up with almonds. And so my mother used to make me soak them overnight in hot water, then peel them in the morning, and then consume them with a glass of milk. I still do that to this day. So I always have natural almonds in my pantry without fail.
For me, I think that would be the coconut almonds.
Ooh.
Love the coconut almonds.
I'm sriracha almonds.
Yum.
I seem to be the only one without flavor in my life right now.
Okay, the next question, we'll start with you, Sarb. What's a food you could never live without?
Oh, dark chocolate.
Ooh.
Dark chocolate. Have to have it. Just a tiny piece every day.
Treat yourself.
I'm probably with Sarb on that as well. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark chocolate.
And it's good for you.
Yeah.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Well, we are going to hop back into the details, into the good information, but I feel like we learned a little more about each of you today. We're going to transition into Carol. We learned a lot about how consumers are defining Clean Label, what it kind of means to them, and the different variations of that, and how the different generations are playing into that, and what businesses can do to kind of speak to consumers and what they're looking for when it comes to Clean Label products. And now we're going to transition in to Carol to start talking about some of the product innovation, the Clean Label innovation, what it means in the technical space. So welcome back, Carol.
Thanks, DJ.
First, can you just tell us about your role at RSSL?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a technical specialist in the product development team here at RSSL. So we carry out product development projects on behalf of external clients. So we will either do a small part of a project development, you know, looking at either concepts and prototypes, or taking it all the way through to assisting with scale up and launch. So it really depends on what the client's looking for. And we will develop the recipes, look at different ingredients, and carry out tastings and really sort of get the product ready to launch onto the market. We also carry out ingredient evaluation projects. So working for ingredient suppliers, where we'll take ingredients, look at the functionality of those ingredients, maybe compare them to other ingredients on the market, and develop applications that can be used for demonstrations and sales meetings and those sorts of things.
So as you're doing all of that awesome smart people stuff, are you seeing more companies strive to meet specific label requirements, or what changes are you seeing from that regard?
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost a baseline to everything that we do, is the requirement to get as clean a label as possible. And we work very much in this functional food space, so products which are nutritionally modified in some way, so maybe lower in sugar, lower in fat, or fortified to increase fiber or protein. And all of those approaches require different ingredients to help you produce a palatable, appealing product. But certainly the clients that we work with are all looking for ingredients on the label which are recognizable by consumers and as few ingredients as possible to be able to do that job.
And I know that our history in food formulation, that it's really hard to just remove a single ingredient because all of the ingredients work as a system to make, you know, baked goods or whatever food you're making, the product that consumers are demanding. So as you look at the shift towards clean label and some of the formulation changes that probably come along with that, how has this impacted the product development that you're seeing?
It's making our life very interesting, providing lots of challenges. Saab talked earlier about the move towards plant-based, and we've seen very much that consumers looking for products which look and taste very similar to the animal-based products which they're used to, because then they can make that easy swap into their diet. They don't have to learn new recipes. They don't have to change the way they're eating. But it's very difficult to replicate that taste and texture of, for example, meat using, you know, one or two ingredients. It really is a systems approach. And, you know, some of the ingredients that we use may not be considered clean label really by the consumer, but they're really essential to delivering that functionality that we look for. You don't want the product to break up while it's being cooked. You want it to have a juicy texture in the mouth. You need a firm bite. You need a combination of ingredients most of the time to be able to do that.
Yes, absolutely. So when you're looking at mouthfeel, you're looking at taste, you don't want to sacrifice those things, because this is what consumers care about.
Yeah,
and ultimately, companies care what the consumers deem important, and that's what's going to drive sales and drive trial.
In some previous studies that I looked at in the past, I was very surprised to see that there's a strong demand for the clean label, but almost equally is this demand for their products to stay almost identical to their traditional counterparts. And they do not want to forego on, or none of us, I mean, I am lumped into that consumer group. I buy things and eat them. But we don't want to forego on any of that. We want it to be exactly like the product we're used to, and the product that we're used to eating, and the product that we enjoy. And we're not really willing to give on that much.
Absolutely. And the other aspect is the nutritional profile as well, because, you know, most of these new products coming to market, we're looking to at least match the nutritional profile of the meat or dairy product that it's designed to replace, and in many cases try and improve on that nutritional profile. So you're trying to deliver the same amount of protein, you're trying to deliver the essential minerals and vitamins that are in the animal-based product. You may then want to be reducing the sat fat or delivering some extra fiber, because we know that the consumers who are reducing the amount of animal products they consume are doing so most of the time from a health perspective. So there's an expectation that these products really deliver on the nutritional profile as well. So again, you've got to consider which ingredients are needed to be able to achieve the nutritional aspects that the consumers expect as part of the package.
Absolutely. And we're seeing that cut across all of the generations. So we talked quite a bit about millennials and Gen Zers earlier in the segment, but baby boomers are also very much concerned about remaining healthy. We're seeing quite a few individuals cut out the unhealthy, if you will, ingredients. So they're decreasing their consumption of sugar, of sodium, of trans fats, of artificial sweeteners.
Okay. No, and I was going to say, and I think all of those health claims that you were just talking about, Elise, were even expedited or elevated in importance during the last year because of the pandemic. So I think they were claims that were already growing in importance. And then I think last year things just hyperspeed, you know, because of all of the health concerns and the safety concerns, that now it's even more of a priority to consumers of all generations and how they maintain that health and wellness.
And so on that note of evolution, Carol, you've had a chance to see how products go from like start to finish in terms of product development. How have you seen clean label evolve throughout your career in the food industry?
So I think when I first started out in the food industry, it wasn't really something that was high on the priority list. So We had additives, which could be very useful in products. And it was all about, you know, how do we get, for example, the sugar out? So, you know, you can do that by using these ingredients. They provide the sweetness or they provide the bulk of the sugar. Great, let's go with it. And it's only been sort of, it's really the consumers that start to look at the back of packs and say, well, I don't understand what this is. And those consumer voices have got louder over the years and raised concerns. And although all of these ingredients that we use in the food industry are safe, they've been tested extensively, we know that once consumers start to think, I'm not too sure about this ingredient, you know, you have to start looking for alternatives. You can't keep sort of just saying, no, it's fine, we'll go ahead and we'll use it, because the consumers will start to turn to other brands who are willing to try alternatives and look for ingredients which may be more acceptable to those consumers.
Yes, absolutely. What types of clean label attributes are companies focused on at the moment?
I think the number of ingredients on back of pack is quite a high priority. And we see a number of products on the market where maybe they'll make a claim around, you know, made with only, for example, 5 ingredients, and that's seen as a very positive benefit. So if you turn over the pack and it's a really long list, that can be very concerning for consumers. They want to know why you've had to use all these different ingredients. So I think that's certainly one of the things to consider. And then many companies we're seeing have these sort of red, amber, green lists. So they'll be taking all the, for example, additive ingredients and ranking them. So if they're red, you definitely can't use them. If they're amber, well, maybe, but we'd prefer it if you didn't. Green, yes, we're happy with these, go ahead. So we're having to sort of narrow down our toolbox in a way to try and use those ingredients, which preferably would fall within that green area, to be able to do a job that maybe the red ingredients would do even better, but the decision has been made that consumers are not willing to accept those ingredients.
Yeah, and we're seeing the younger generation, Gen Zs and millennials, they very much shop with their values in mind. So that's whether it's clean labels, whether it's environmentalism, these are key pillars of their willingness to pay and how they shop. And there was a stat that actually stayed with me. So we know that 46% of British adults associate clean eating with being better for you. And this clean eating trend is very much synonymous with the clean label movement. So
I would say that social media has made it much easier for people who have very strong opinions in this area to be able to talk about any concerns they have about ingredients, or be able to share sort of examples of where they think companies are doing a good job in terms of achieving a clean label profile. So for those consumers who are very interested in the area, it's become a lot easier to share the information. And, you know, it doesn't take long for somebody to quickly type in a particular ingredient off the back of the pack and get quite a lot of information. Some of it may not be scientifically proven, but there'll be information out there, and they, you know, that's at their fingertips every day.
And I think that, you know, when you, even like for me, when I go to the store, if I'm looking at two products that seem relatively similar, you know, from a price point or the way they are packaged or any of that, that these become the tipping point, some of these claims of what will make me decide to go one way or another. So while I might not go into the store looking for something that has a quote unquote clean label claim on the front, when I'm there deciding between two products, it definitely plays into my decision of which way to go or which one to finally purchase if I'm torn.
Yeah.
So as we begin to wrap this up, I know we're getting close to our time limit. And I think actually this next part would be good for a question that would be good for both of you. But if you had your crystal ball out and you were looking forward into the future, how do you see the clean label trend evolving? And are there specifics in there that you expect to gain more momentum or more importance as we look forward into the future?
I don't see us going back to using those ingredients which have been sort of sent to Siberia. I think we will continue to use more and more of these clean label ingredients. And I know it's an area that the the ingredient companies are putting a lot of work into to develop new ingredients which can help solve us, help us solve these technical issues. So, you know, ways to take sugar out of products or ways to achieve the sort of texture we're looking for in the meat and fish alternative. But they're doing so with the clean label trend in mind. And I think fermentation offers a great opportunity in this space in creating new ingredients and making more of the ingredients we already have.
You know, diets and lifestyle is also going to play a fairly large role in terms of how clean label and other terms stick in the future. And what we're seeing is, and you've probably heard this in the media too, but intermittent fasting, for example, is a diet that people are really capitalizing on right now. And clean eating is also a diet that people are now beginning to engage in a lot more. In fact, clean eating and intermittent fasting are the top two diet trends of 2019 going into 2020. So what that tells us is that people's eating habits are changing. And not just from a diet perspective, but from a lifestyle perspective. So the choices they make, the brands they choose, the ingredients they choose are significantly important to them in terms of the lifestyle they want to engage in. So I think it's a trend that's going to stay for quite some time, coupled with, of course, you know, where does your food come from? You know, this huge opportunity and runway.
Sean, thank you very much for joining us today. We're beyond thrilled to have you on the podcast. So let's just dive right into the questions. The first is, tell us a bit about your position and what customers ask about when talking about clean labels.
Thank you, Elise. So it's a great question. So my position is I am the vice president of sales for North and South America for Blue Diamond's global ingredient division. As you can imagine, you know, we are talking a lot to customers about how they formulate with our almond, either whole almonds or almond forms in their ingredient formulations. When we talk with them about clean label, what we find is that customers of ours who are looking to make finished food products for consumers are oftentimes looking to simplify their label or remove unhealthy ingredients. So almonds are a natural fit to help solve those challenges that they're facing, because they see almonds as a natural fit for cleaner, simpler label or ingredient alternatives for their food formulations.
Have you seen this trend change over time since you've been at Blue Diamond?
Well, I've been with Blue Diamond approximately 3 years, and I think that most of the changes in clean label, in my experience, have happened over a little longer time horizon. So in years past, clean label is about removing unhealthy ingredients, and over time we've seen it move to simplifying ingredient labels and then furthermore promoting the usage of healthier ingredients. So I would say that as trends such as the plant-based trend are growing even further, it fits very well with the clean label needs of consumers. And so we think that there's been stronger demand for almonds to fit that trend over the last few years.
So kind of on that, you've talked a little bit about how almonds fit into the space. How do you think they'll continue to almonds and almonds ingredients drive the clean label trend?
Well, I think that almonds have a lot of benefits, whether it's heart health or immunity or other claims that can be made for almonds. I think as consumers and manufacturers of consumer packaged goods are looking to provide foods with benefits as more of an offering, almonds fit squarely into that need. And as I mentioned before, they solve an objective that consumer packaged goods companies are looking to achieve. So I think that you know, the horizon is bright for the inclusion of more and more almonds, whether it be in cereals or baked goods, or you know, pack mixes. Almonds provide a very flavorful, texture enriching and label friendly alternative for manufacturers of products.
Wonderful. Well, earlier you mentioned that clean label, this trend has shifted from just simplifying the labels to healthifying the products, essentially. Where do you think the clean label movement is going? How do you think it will evolve in the future?
I think it will move from being a movement to being integrated into just how food is made. So as you look at other factors that affect the food industry, sustainability, for example, I think all of the things point to a need for simpler, healthier items in our food supply chain. And so I think rather than us looking at clean label as a movement or initiative, it will just be part of the way food is made.
Well, before we wrap up, we've quickly reached the end of our time, but any final thoughts on clean label or the trends or almonds in general?
Well, I thank you guys for having me here to be a part of the podcast. Again, I think that the future continues to be bright for almonds. We have a great story. We are made from the farm. You know, our product is exported all around the world, helping to feed the needs of consumers, both here in the United States, as well as internationally. And as I look at what happens with almonds in the future, I think, you know, they will find their way into more and more segments or in applications. And because they're just a great thing, whether it's snacking or as part of a regular meal, you know, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, I think we'll continue to see the proliferation of almonds.
We want to thank you guys for, you know, joining us today on our inaugural episode of our podcast. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Just thank you for having us, and really appreciate the opportunity to share our thoughts. So thank you.
Yep, I would agree. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe to our show and leave us a review. Our next podcast will explore insights on another important and dynamic trend, plant-based innovation. If you're hungry for more insights in the meantime, head to our website at bbingredients.com/insights to learn all about the latest developments in food and beverage innovation. Thank you.